You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
This is Women in Leadership Podcast, featuring success insights from women around the globe. Now, over to your host, Anne-Marie Cross.
And welcome to another episode of Women in Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross, the podcasting queen. Now, my guest believes that passion creates action and action creates results, and that what you plan for, you can actually achieve. Funny about that. So why is it that so many small businesses today sadly still fail? Now, joining me on today's show is Stephanie Scheller. Stephanie may be young, but she has worked with more than 600 businesses and thousands of individuals in the past 5 years. Now, at 25 years old and using the same system she teaches, she's built businesses from scratch in less than 5 months to replace her full-time income, and walked away from her corporate job to run her own company, which is dedicated to disrupting the way the world goes into business through sales, marketing, and systems. I love that. Now, on today's show, Stephanie's going to share with us about passion creating action and action creates results. There may be some really great insights into why you're not generating the results you want in this particular insight. She's also going to be talking about the importance of who we need to surround ourselves with and how to choose the right friends, as well as understanding that we have got to change the way that we are doing business if we want to survive, and of course what that means. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Thank you. Wow, what an incredible introduction. I don't know what to say after that.
I think one of the most insightful things that people will often do on the show, and I'd love to give you an opportunity to share, particularly that you have gone from corporate to now running your own business, because many women who do watch and listen to this podcast are in transition. But unlike you, they often will remain in corporate because there takes some real courage to walk away from a paid job, because as we know, in business it's tough and we don't really know where the next client is coming from. So take us back through that. Had you always had an interest in entrepreneurship? How did that pan out for you?
Oh, that's a really good question. So I was raised on the Rich Dad, Poor Dad books. I don't know if you've read those ones.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
So my parents would, that was what we did. Dad sat us down every Friday afternoon, evening, and they read to us from those books, all of his books, like tons and tons of real estate investing books and, you know, build your wealth. And so all the way through junior high and high school, I was told, you know, this is what you want to do. My parents started their own business. I went to school to learn how to run a horse barn. I was going to open my own business, graduated, of course, with, you know, six figures in debt and sitting there going, what do I do? What's plan B? So I ended up getting a job as a marketing, I called it a marketing consultant. I was really a sales rep, but I was pretending I was a marketing consultant. So I would, I told people, you know, hey, I consult, let me talk with you about your marketing. I did really well with that. And of course the company I was working with at the time, after 3 years, started messing with my paycheck, as many companies do to the really good sales reps, which sucks that they do that. But they mess with the paycheck. And so I said, okay, I need a plan B. So the cool thing was, like, I was kind of pushed into it. There was an external force that said, basically, you know, you need to make more money. And then my boss, actually, this was the real catalyst. So I'm such a like, don't tell me what I can and can't do person. I told my boss the, like, seventh, eighth month in a row where they were, like, messing with my paycheck. And I looked at my boss and I said, I will not be here in 6 months. And he goes, oh, you don't mean that. I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that. And I was like, excuse me?
And that gave you even more fire in your belly to, oh, man.
When I got a ticket. I flew out to California to become a sales trainer, trained to be a trainer, and it just ran from there. And every time I would get tired or frustrated, all I could think about was, I'm going to prove to this guy, I'm not going to be here in 6 months. And sure enough, you know, 4 months later, I was making more money part-time than full-time. And I was like,
It's amazing, isn't it? When you speak to people who have made a transition, there is something that often an external force which is really driving them, a real need. It's almost like a survival, fight or flight situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
That really drives them forward. If you look back, had you not had that, do you think, I mean, you would have, I'm sure you just, that sort of person I see from your attitude and your approach that you would have, but maybe not as in a shorter time span. It may have taken you longer. Do you think? Yeah.
I think that once I made up my mind to go do it, it was going to happen pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And here's where I get that whole passion creates action and action creates results things from.
Mm-hmm.
I loved what I was doing for that company. I really did. However, there was a lot about working for that company I didn't like.
Yes.
And there were a lot of times I kind of felt like I was selling my soul
in
exchange for working for this company. So I did not like that part of it. And so I'd actually tried twice before to build up network marketing companies to replace my income.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I just remember one time at, 24 years old, driving home from work, stuck on stuck in traffic on 281, which is one of the big highways, and thinking,
this is not my life.
Oh, yeah. Like, holy cow. I was raised to be this entrepreneur. I was, and I'm doing the 95 grind,
yeah.
This sucks.
Mm.
And that was when I started trying these network marketing companies. Like, okay, let's try this one. Let's try this one. And I never got them off the ground because I never put in the action. I never put in the effort to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I realized since then was I was never passionate about those companies. I never cared about the products. I never cared. It was all about just making money and
yes.
getting away from the company.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you lack that passion, it shows.
Very hard. Yeah, absolutely. And I love that because, many people may be listening today and doing similar or having a similar journey and maybe right in the midst of that and recognizing, and let's dive in a bit deeper to this passion because I think there's such gold within that. Why am I not? But all of these other women are doing really well in the network marketing, say, for instance. But when we have a look at it, if it's not really connected to who you are and the values that you have, like you were talking about loving the work that you do, and I think so many of us can relate to that, but there were core values that were so important to you that were not able to be lived out in your workplace, similarly with your business. So what does passion mean for you? Let's just get on the same page. What does passion mean for you?
For me, passion is that drive, that energy, right? When you think about whatever it is that you're passionate about, it should get you going.
Yes.
You should, when I talk about, we talk about my journey and how I built this business and how I'm helping these businesses. And I actually had the opportunity to do something I don't get to do very often anymore earlier today. And I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sitting down with a very new business owner. It was an unpaid one. I just sat down with them just to help them out and just seeing their brain, this guy is going to go really far. And I was super excited because I was having fun helping him set up the groundwork of his business to keep himself from failing in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so exciting for me.
Yeah.
And that's what your passion is yes. when you do something and you get energy out of it.
I love that. And we hear that again, don't we, all time and time again. And it's because it is true. When you're really passionate about something, it really is something that you would do for free. Now, obviously in business, we need to create income streams for sure. That's important.
Right.
But the work in itself, and that's what really gets you up in the morning, even in situations where there are difficulties, you might've launched something and it didn't quite work out, but you know what, it's just a way that we tried and that didn't work out best, we'll try a different way. But it's that passion and that whatever information or what you're sharing that is really driving you forward. Had you always recognized that this was an area that you were passionate about, or had you done some exploring first before you really found what it was for you?
I hadn't thought about that one. I think looking back, hindsight's 2020, I can see the passion all the way.
Yes. You're now able to join the dots.
I can see that it was something I was driven
by. Mm.
But in the moment, I didn't recognize it.
Yes. And were there skills? Let's have a look at the corporate, that the work that you were doing in the corporate. I would imagine that now in your business, you have incorporated the elements of what you really loved about your work into what you're doing now. Yes?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And that was how, like, you know, hindsight's where I can see I was always doing this.
Yes.
I got that job because I wanted the ad. I can't find it. I clipped it out and I had it for years and I can't find it anymore. But it actually said, do you love helping small business owners? Do you love designing marketing solutions on a budget? Mm-hmm. And like, that was the ad that I saw that made me apply for the job.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the way through, like, that was how I approached everything I did. I called up these business owners and said, hey, you know your business. I know marketing. Let's talk marketing. Let's look at what you're doing. I'll give you feedback on what you're doing. And yes. If one of our programs works, cool, let's do it. If it doesn't, no big.
Mm.
And that was how I got my clients. And so I took a lot of that same approach to the business of, you know what, let's look at your business holistically. If something I'm doing can help, cool. But let me give you some ideas, some advice, some feedback regardless.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely taken a lot of what I got
from
that corporate world and applied it here.
It's so interesting because prior to working with entrepreneurs and podcasting and everything, I was in the career space for decades, so personal branding, so positioning, getting noticed, hired, paid what they're worth. But another key aspect was organizations or people who were working in organizations that ended up hating their job. And not again, the 9-to-5, I don't know how they do that, but every day, Monday, they would get up, drag their feet. Friday, they would start to come alive again because guess what? The weekend was there. And what I noticed a lot of times that happened, and it's similarly when people are transitioning from corporate to their business, because there were certain aspects of that role, they kind of it tarnishes the whole role. I hate everything about that role. Really? And when we started to dive deeper into it, we recognized that there were just a few elements that caused them to really despise their work. And it was, again, some of the core values. But there were elements in that we see we really shine if we are in a different environment, and that once we connect with that and recognize that, we can bring that into our own business. And sadly, many people don't recognize that. So I'm glad, you know, thank you for sharing that journey and those hindsights, because I think it can be a huge lesson for someone today who is maybe going through that transition themselves. So when you're talking about action, you said earlier, you know, with your direct marketing, you didn't take the right action steps. Let's have a look then, once you recognize your passion, what are some of the key action steps that you now take in your business that you can see is so vital that you didn't maybe take in the previous businesses when you were trying to get those direct marketing businesses off the ground?
So are you asking that, what actions I took to get the business off the
ground? To get your business. So yeah, what were the key actions that you're now taking because you were more passionate that have really catapulted your business forward?
Okay. So one of the biggest things I did was I had dedicated time to sales.
Mm.
I went in and I was generating leads, and I was, you know, sales time has always been 8-to-5,
mm-hmm.
right? Really 9-to-4 is when you're going to make sales for the most part in the B2B world, for at least.
Yes.
Or business to business for those of you guys. Sometimes I use jargon. I forget I'm using jargon. So 9-to-4 was straight sales time, and I would do my lead generation, my social media, all that stuff in the mornings and the evenings. But on my lunch break, I went out and I was making calls every lunch break. Mm-hmm. On my, you know, commute into work, I was sitting in the car making dials to try and drum up clients. I was willing to take vacation time to build the business, whereas in previous businesses, I wasn't. The other thing that I did, I really committed all in. So one of the things I did was I went, and my coach told me, he said, Stephanie, you can do this, but if you do this, there is no going back because you are going to screw yourself come tax time. And so what I went to the HR and I took the highest amount of deductions I could so that I was getting almost all of my paycheck back instead of a chunk of it going to the government.
Yeah.
Because you would end up you usually end up taking pretty heavy losses your first year in business. So this way, I wasn't paying a whole ton of taxes the next year. And I was actually getting that money back now to invest it in building the business.
Mm.
And so basically, I think I just kind of burned my bridges.
Yes. When you've got no other choice but forward, that's it. You take those action steps. And I love also too that you've reinforced, you didn't just do some social media and sit back and hope that clients will come to your door. You proactively got out there, because I love social media too, but you know, there's this thing, this old fashioned thing, which they used in the past and it worked really well. It's called a phone. You know, you need to pick that up and dial the numbers, you know, so often. And it can be scary, can't it? Because the no's and the rejection. But you know what? It may just be that that potential client's not just ready yet. But once you start to build the momentum, share a bit about this, because this is such an important lesson for all of us. When you build the momentum and you're having 10 conversations or whatever, those minimum no's, they're not no longer impacting you because of the fact that you have got call after call, contact after contact, and it's not just one contact here that gets a no and then one contact there that gets a no. It's that momentum that's so important, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And there's this level where when you've got so many leads to call, so many people to call on, you get to this point where you're almost like, look, if you're not interested, just tell me so I can
move on. Yeah, exactly. Right? I'd love a no or a yes, whatever it is, it's okay. We can move on.
And that was what we got to, was I was just like, I have 1 hour to make my lunch, to make my calls. Mm-hmm. Just tell me yes or no and don't waste my time. Yes. Like, I got to that, but I was at the same time, and I say it, and then people are like, oh, I'm allowed to be a jerk on the phone. No, that wasn't really what I was doing. But I was so excited about what I was doing that I was just like, you know what, if you're interested, cool. If you're not, it's fine. No big deal.
Yes.
I just want to get to the next call. And they were like, oh, okay. And that energy attracted people. And so now people are like, this chick is so interested in what she's doing. Maybe I should check it out too.
Yes. Yeah. And there's that inner confidence, isn't it? Not because, you know, you feel that client, you know, almost that desperation. I need this client. If it's a yes, fantastic. Give you 110%, you know, support. If it's a no, look, that's great too. You're not yet ready. I want to know that so that we can move on, because there's this energetic feel that often can be there. So good. Yeah. Such great insights there. Let's talk about the importance of who you surround yourself. Now, you obviously got some really good advice from your accountant, you were saying, so that helped you put into place some structures. Often we don't get that, and we can end up, you know, making the wrong decisions that end up impacting us. Let's talk about this. Who were some of the key people that you surrounded yourself that really influenced and supported you?
Some of the key people. So I went to, I'll never forget, I went to he was my boyfriend at the time. He's now my husband. One of the conversations I had was with him, and I said, I am building this and I am going to go put all of my time and energy into this. Basically, our relationship is going to change a lot. We've been going for bike rides every night after work, been spending the weekends, you know, going to theme parks and having fun together. And that's got to change. Mm-hmm. I've got to spend this time to build this business, and I'm going to spend 3 years really dedicating everything I can to this business, because 3 years is the time frame where people end up going in and falling out. I said, so 3 years is going to be crazy. If you're willing to stick with me through it, cool. If you're not, now would be the good time to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, okay, let's go.
Yeah. So, and I bet you he's glad he did. Really key. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and he's awesome.
Yeah.
So I had that one. I had my mom who was backing me up. My dad was scared to death. He was like, you're doing what? You're quitting your job? Oh my gosh. He's like, I love you, Steph, and I'll support you. But it was like, I'll support you, but I'm scared for you.
Yeah.
But I had my mom. I had my boyfriend. I hired a coach. That was one of the first things I did. 4 weeks in, I hired a coach. Mm. I made zero my first 4 weeks in business. The last 3 months was really where I made money. I had a couple of mentors, and I started going to events and putting myself in places to be around groups of people who thought differently.
Yes.
Because we do tend to shift how we think and how we look at the world based on who we surround ourselves with. So I started working really hard to make sure that the people I was hanging out with were also talking entrepreneur, and you know what? Yeah, let's take the risk. Let's go for it. Those were probably the biggest keys. And I talk about friend power all the time, because I think people underestimate, they know, hey, the people I hang out with is important.
Yes.
They underestimate the power of choice you have.
Mm-hmm.
You are allowed to choose the friends you spend your time with, and they will either elevate or relegate your success.
Oh, absolutely. And I think within that too, as you said, really being careful of who you do surround yourself with, but also the people that maybe you have been surrounded with, but you recognize that they just have no understanding, and them speaking into your life at that time, as you said, you really had to knuckle down. 3 years, so many people give up after 9 months or even, you know, 12 months because they think, well, I'm a failure. It's like, you need to build the key foundations, and it takes time. But it's also giving yourself permission, as you said, to close the doors on some people because of the fact, not in a nasty way, but again, right, if they're questioning you and causing you to doubt, I told you that wouldn't work kind of thing, that's not supportive, and we really need to be. So did you do that as well? You're very careful about who you spend a lot of time with, limited maybe conversations with people who didn't quite get what you were doing.
I did, and I was never nasty about it, yeah, but it was, I would just stop making additional time, mm-hmm, started being, you know, and it, I was busy anyhow. It wasn't like I was making up excuses to avoid hanging out with these guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, like there was this one chick at work that we would go, you know, I didn't smoke, but she would smoke, and I would go out to hang out with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I started having to really limit the amount of time I spent, yeah, around her.
Yes.
There were multiple other people that I just stopped focusing so much to, even a couple of family members. Mm-hmm. And I know that's really controversial. So I want to be really clear. It wasn't that I didn't love them any less. Mm-hmm. And I didn't hate them by any means. But there were a couple of family members that I had to be really careful with, especially one who was very, very negative, very down view on life. And I actually stopped really returning that person's calls or spending a whole bunch of time with that person,
mm-hmm,
because I told them, I said, you know, hey, I love you, I'm just not available right now.
Mm.
And I was never mean about it, but I did make choices to move some people out of a heavy portion of my life. And I still do that every month, every 6 months. I go through and I look at who am I spending time with, and who am I excited with and motivated with after I'm done, and then who am I drained and exhausted by?
Yeah.
And I start moving these people off my calendar.
Yeah. I think boundaries are so important, and how we reframe or frame the conversation can make a huge difference. And I remember one of my mentors just recently, she was saying that when she catches up for one conversation and coffee with one of her friend will often come down on her and go, why are you working so hard? I thought you started your own business to be able to work your own hours, take more hours off. And eventually my now mentor said, well, you know, let's just agree to disagree. This is probably something that we don't see eye to eye, but I love you for all the other reasons. So she put boundaries around what could be discussed, yeah, so that there wouldn't be that conflict going on there. And as you say, if people can't respect that, then it's a wise move to, you know, limit the amount of time. So very important. What would have been, if you can think back, I mean, I'm sure there's lots of different insights, but when you think across the mentors and the people who supported you, was there a common theme or an insight that they shared that really helped you keep focused and on track? Can you recall anything, you know, from one of your mentors over that time as you were building that business in the 3 years?
There was one that my coach would say all the time, and I didn't understand it for a long time. So it kind of got stuck in my head, kind of as like a, what does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he would always say, if you argue for your limitations, you get to keep them. And it took me a long time to really, like, I was always too embarrassed to ask him, like, what exactly does this mean? So I just played it over in my head, played it over. And what I've realized is it's when you're talking about, you know, what you've accomplished, what you haven't, when you sit there and make excuses, mm-hmm, and you argue for why you have that limitation or why it happened,
mm-hmm,
you get to keep it.
Yes.
When you start to look for the solution,
yeah,
you get what's past that limitation, which is the success.
Yeah.
And so that's probably the biggest one that stuck in my head, which is a funny reason to stick in my head. Just
I love that one. Now, let me ask you this. Did you actually ever say to him, what does that mean? Or did you just look at it? Like sometimes, you know, when someone says something, we go, yeah, and we think, I don't know what they just said. Did you ever approach him, or did it take a while for you to suddenly realize what that meant? And you had that huge aha.
No, I never approached him. If he hears this podcast, yeah, he's probably a surprise.
You know, all those times I said, I love that quote. I'm thinking, I have no idea what that means. That's great. You know, and sometimes it's a really good lesson for us sometimes to check in, ask. You know, sometimes we often don't want to ask or check in because it's like, oh, they might think differently of me. But I love that. Sometimes, though, in some instances, we do need to grow into that. And now, of course, you recognize that. But that's so true. That is so true. That is a powerful one. Yeah. So understanding that we need to change what we are doing in our business if we want to survive. You talked about disruption in your introduction. I love disruption too. There's so much noise, so much going on online and offline. Businesses need to really rethink the way they're doing things. Share a couple of things that you're doing quite differently or that you're suggesting that your clients do differently so that they can get better results.
So I am really, really pushing my clients to spend time working on the, and I know this isn't necessarily new, but a lot of times business owners end up kind of being very reactive.
Yes.
And it's part of what makes a great business owner is that ability to be reactive and to handle problems as they crop up. But what I'm trying to teach these business owners to do is to think things through and to plan ahead and to document a lot more than they're doing. You know, perfect example. One of the biggest things I get called in for a lot of times, it's not always, you know, marketing is one, but the hiring process. People get so frustrated with the hiring process because hiring is either going to be the best thing you ever do in your business or the absolute worst. Either it's going to help you grow or it's going to sabotage you. And people seem to have a hard time figuring this out. And someone told me the other day, he goes, well, isn't hiring just putting an ad on Craigslist? And I was like, no. I was like, you have to find the right talent, convince them to join you, and then you got to keep them around.
Yes.
And that requires strategy. Very few of us are lucky enough to be that person who can inspire someone to stick with you when, and it's not that you're a jerk, it's just you're caught up in doing the things you've got to do in your business. And oftentimes we end up bringing somebody in last minute, like, oh my gosh, I need help. So you hire a receptionist / web admin, which, what the heck, those two jobs don't even really work together. And you're going to end up with one of two people. Either you're going to end up with someone who thrives in that position because they're more of an entrepreneurial brain who can handle switching tasks and can figure it out for themselves. Or you're going to end up with a really good employee. Now, the really good employees need a lot of support. They need they need you to outline some more information for them than, hey, update the website and answer the phone.
Yeah.
Right? They need to know, okay, how do we answer the phone for you guys? When someone asks for this, what do I do? How do I update the website? They need documentation. And so you're going to end up with one of the two. If you end up with the first person, you're going to be, or the second person, you're going to be frustrated because they can't do anything. How dare they? You know, they're so incompetent. Well, they're probably not incompetent. You probably just didn't explain it very well.
Yeah.
Or you're going to end up with the first person who is going to do such a good job. And most entrepreneurs end up a little bit jealous of that. So they come in and they kind of micromanage because now they want to know what this person's doing. And so the other person then says, or the other person, person number one says, I could make more money doing this myself, goes off and starts their own business.
Yeah.
And so we end up with a lot of people running businesses who shouldn't be running businesses. They are, would be great employees if they'd just been taken care of properly. So my goal is to get people to just plan and strategize and put together the pieces of their business as opposed to just going out there. And maybe you're a really good plumber, but maybe you're not a great business owner. Doesn't mean you can't become one, but you got to plan, you got to strategize, you got to put time into laying the foundation of your business if you ever want it to grow beyond you.
Yeah. And I think, you know, sometimes when we look at the what people are saying to grow our business, you know, all of these incredible technologies and platforms that we have, unless we've got the right strategy and the right foundations, we don't know how best to leverage it. And I think often as business owners, we're trying to take on too much. We spread ourselves too thin, and then we end up not doing anything well. And so sometimes as a business, it's let's really knuckle down on this. Let's get this to the point where you're delivering exceptional results and generating exceptional results. And then we can move to the next element that we can add on. And sometimes it's going back and doing the old things. The old is the new again, isn't it? Like ringing up, following up. So many people, I mean, I've got a colleague who's a printer and he said email boxes are full of emails and follow-ups and digital stuff. He said, whereas letterbox boxes are empty except for the occasional bill and leaflet. Now imagine if you actually did something that was offline, you know, a wow factor that was a printed, whatever it is, that is really going to stand out. So it really is about shifting and looking at, you know, what, and that's one of the things that I love to do. If everyone's zigging, I zag, and the vice versa. But whatever we decide to do, make sure we do it well, you know, go beyond what people expect, because you're going to make an impact.
Can I drop an idea for your listeners?
Yeah.
This is one. So based on what you just said, this is one that I hadn't even thought of until recently, but especially for those guys who are trying to get into the big companies and you're trying to get to the C-suite level, or you're trying to get to someone and that gatekeeper is not letting you in. One of the coolest ways I've learned to do is put together really nice fax. Because they all have a fax, and the person who's monitoring it isn't really guarded. They're just going to grab it and go, oh, attention, John Smith. Okay.
Yeah.
And they deliver it. So it's a great way to get in. And that going back to what, you know, has been abandoned, basically. Yeah. So I love doing that.
Yeah. I just went yesterday to an event, and there was a gentleman there who was, he'd have to be in his 60s, but he came from that background of, you know, the direct marketing, the real copywriting, and he's blending the old, the traditional with the new, because as we know, communications are so very important, still very, very, very important. Mm-hmm. But now that he's been able to blend it, the cut through that they're getting is so important. So that really is such a great insight for all of us. Don't abandon things because people say, oh, we don't do that anymore. How can you revive that? How can you add, you know, a wow factor to that by leveraging it? Because I tell you what, someone else is not going to be doing it. And some of the things he shared were amazing too. One thing was a video card. When you open up this booklet, there's a video that plays. It's got a little screen. I don't know what it's called, but it's called, and that bypasses the, because you, it's printed and everything. And the gentleman who was using that, what was he? He was a, working for the industry, the construction industry. And what they did was they wrapped around, the signage around you know, the fences. You know, sometimes when you're building here in Australia, anyway, you've got to wrap the fences, the boundary line with special protection. But what often companies do is they get their brand name on it. And so, they use that, and they were able to bypass the gatekeepers, and it's something that really stood out, and they call that a wow factor, you know, wow box or something like that. So, you know, what can you do that will leverage and really cut through that noise? And as you know, sometimes you trial and error. Things didn't work quite well. Can we change it up a little bit? It's just so important. I have so enjoyed today's conversation. Stephanie, for people who want to know more about you, the work that you do, how best to connect with you?
If they go to my website, thestephanieschaller.com, like the one and only.
Yes.
They can check me out there, and they fill out a contact, or I don't know if my email is on there, but all the contacts go into my inbox and I respond to them all personally. It may take me a day, but I do respond to them all personally. Great. So I would love to connect or answer additional questions from anyone listening.
Yeah, fantastic. And as we can see just from the conversation today, Stephanie's so passionate about building business. And I love the fact that you look at, you know, new ways. How can we change things up? How can we tweak things to really make an impact? Because that's what it's all about, I think, is really getting your message in front of your ideal client, your dream client, who then you can continue to nurture and leverage that relationship, build know, like, and trust to the point that when you do have that conversation, they're ready. They've just got a couple of questions, you know, just to validate a few things that they may have still unanswered. And then, let's move forward. So what we'll do for you, Stephanie, is we'll put all of the links on how to connect with you on our show notes. For those of you who are listening to the audio version of the podcast, we recorded this via video as well as streaming it live across Facebook. So come to the show notes, ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/WIL80. So ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/WIL80. And you'll you'll see all those connections and contacts for Stephanie as well. Stephanie, if there was one insight that you would share with everyone today to get them into action, because as we've said, and if you really validated, action is key, what would that be?
It would be that everything you're going to do and everything you're going to accomplish in your life is going to take some effort. Mm. And understand that, and understand that effort stands for earned freedom for overcoming real tempests. Because when you put the effort in, you're in the freedom to have the life you want for yourself.
I love that. Fantastic. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Women in Leadership Podcast, brought to you by BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. Changing the world, one message at a time. Do you feel called to influence real change with your message? Join our supportive community of like-minded influencers, thought leaders, and disruptors at www.BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. That's BeTheDifferenceMovement.com.